Pastor Michael, we've been in a season on questions related to the spiritual realm, which has been fascinating. And today's question is, what is the spiritual gift of discernment of spirits?
Wonderful question. And most people leave off what the Bible tags onto that, which is of spirits. So first and foremost, discernment, it's a very simple concept. It's the ability to see what's underneath the surface. We call it the thing behind the thing, right? Mm-hmm. So discernment doesn't just look at what is happening. We have all eyes, we can see what's happening. But discernment really asks two questions. Number one is, why is that thing happening? And then sometimes even more importantly, and especially for the spiritual gift of discernment of spirits, who is actually pulling the strings, uh-huh. Okay? So the spiritual gift of discernment of spirits asks, why is this thing happening? Like, I'm watching these interactions. Maybe I'm watching a conflict between two people. Maybe I'm watching somebody do something really incredible and bear a lot of fruit. And I want to make sure, is this the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Is it like, is this just manufactured energy and charisma? Like, what is actually going on here? So it is clear in scripture that God gives some people the supernatural spiritual ability to figure out what spirit is behind certain behaviors. Mm. So if you have this spiritual gift, for example, you might watch a conflict going on, and it might actually just be two people's flesh duking it out with each other. But there also might be like a demonic influence to this. And so the person with the discernment of spirits will be able to kind of step in and be like, listen, I've prayed about this. I've watched this. There is demonic influence happening here. And usually if they've done it long enough, they can kind of pinpoint like, what are some of the fruit of the demonic? What does that look like? Mm-hmm. How do you kind of see it?
Yeah.
So there's actually a scripture that talks about this explicitly and you have in front of you. Could you read 1 Corinthians 12 and it's verses 7 to 10?
Yeah, I'd love to. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits.
Awesome. So the ability to distinguish between spirits or to discern which spirit is at work. I want to be like just crystal clear. So you might be here and listening and somebody might say, well, I don't have the ability, spiritual, supernatural ability to easily and quickly discern what spirit is at work or at play. And I think what's important about spiritual gifts is that spiritual gifts, like if I have the gift of teaching, it doesn't mean that you can't teach. Mm-hmm. It just means that this is a unique ministry and calling that maybe bears a unique fruit where the Spirit manifests himself. But you're also like, you could be anybody, right? You might have the spiritual gift of teaching, but it doesn't mean you can't teach, right? So,
and there's still probably people in my life that I'm called to teach.
To teach, or to instruct, et cetera. Yeah. Now, you do have a gift of teaching, so it's just really clear, I'm not speaking about you per se, but in case somebody looks at this, like, I think he's insulting Pastor Ryan to his face. Yeah. No, I'm not. Giving an example, okay? So here's kind of the concept, though. Anybody with a little bit of time, effort, and prayer can with high confidence determine or discern what spirit may or may not be at play. Mm-hmm. Is this the Holy Spirit? Is this just my spirit? Is it the flesh? Or is it a demonic spirit? Okay. So,
yeah. So could you help us discern between what the fruits are of the spirit, flesh, and the demonic?
Yeah. Very simple rubric. I like to make things as simple and basic as possible. Number one, if it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the outcome is going to be life. It's going to be flourishing. Okay. Mm. So like, here's how Jesus says it in John 10:10. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Or Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. These are all descriptors of a flourishing, thriving inner spiritual life. Mm-hmm. So when I start to watch communities thrive, when I watch relationships thrive and they're thriving in the fruit of the Spirit, they're experiencing abundant life, I look at that and I go, that is the mark of the Holy Spirit. Mm. Like, the Holy Spirit is up to something in that person or relationship or community. The fruit of the flesh, it's a little bit different. The fruit of the flesh is focused on self. The fruit of the flesh is obsessed with giving itself what it wants. The darker it gets, it will go get what it wants at all costs. But you have this idea that the fruit of the flesh It's just really about me pleasing myself, getting what I want, how I want, when I want. And honestly, like most conflicts that we watch between people, it's both of their flesh are alive and active. No, I want this. No, I want this. No, you're not giving me what I want. I'm not getting what I want. If you loved me, it's all flesh, right? So Galatians 5:19. Now, the works of the flesh, they're evident, and it's sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, like as if you didn't have enough.
Yeah.
You know, generally
sure you covered
like
everything
right
at the end there. Yeah.
And all of these, like you even think about sorcery, like most people who dabble in sorcery are trying to get something. They're trying to get more power, more money, more access, more information. And so this idea that like when the self is at play, people fight. And so the majority of the time that I look at my kids fighting, I'm not seeing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I'm also not seeing demonic origins. I'm just watching two selfish, fleshly human beings going after each other, getting what they want when they want. And usually they're upset because somebody got in the way of them getting what they want.
Yeah, so absolutely.
The last one is the fruit of the demonic. And I would describe it in one word, destruction. So every once in a while, you'll watch things move from just selfish or their rivals or their bickering. There's even divisions. But then you'll watch it take this weird shift. And it moves into one person or both, but usually one, now begins an attempt to destroy the other person. It could be to destroy their mind. It could be to destroy their identity. It could be to destroy their confidence, to destroy their reputation, et cetera. So once you watch some kind of like selfishness go into, now I'm going to begin the process of destroying you. That's the point where I go, not always, but there very well could be some demonic influence going on here. And so there's a difference between like, let's say your kids are fighting. It's like, you're so dumb. I can't believe you. Why didn't you do whatever? And then one kid looks at the other one and just with this weird, ugly stare, no one loves you. No one ever will. You're useless. Mom doesn't like you. Dad doesn't like you. You should go kill yourself. At that moment, right, I go, oh, this is weird. Or two people begin fighting, right, with each other. And it happens in the church, right?
Yeah.
And then one begins to start gossiping to try to ruin the other, like behind their back, right? And I'm like, ooh, that went dark, right? Yeah. The moment you go from trying to get what I want to trying to destroy somebody, that's where I go, not for certain, but it's highly probable that there is minimally some level of demonic influence.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily those moments of passion where your emotions get the best of you, right? Like you're saying, it's like almost like premeditated and calm.
Yeah.
And they've been thinking about it and like those words land and hit differently. And you, like you said, that's there's probably a different spirit behind that.
Yeah. I think rarely, like people say dumb things in the heat of the moment, right?
Yeah.
It is those moments. I think of like the bully at school who like goes home and thinks about the different ways he's going to like just torture the weaker kids, you know, and just the goal to destroy, to regain power. Jesus says in John 10:10, the thief, he's talking about Satan, and this encapsulates the demonic realm. They come only to steal and to kill and to destroy. So when I watch somebody try to steal somebody else's stuff, I think to myself, that is either an indirect or direct demonic influence, right? Indirect would be the culture of the air, the spirit of the air, kind of like trying to tell people you deserve a wealthier person's money. You you deserve to not have to work. You should be able to get their money, have it applied to your account. We should redistribute wealth. Completely demonic.
It doesn't matter how you have to hurt somebody to get it.
Right. Yeah. You can use the force of government and taxation, but like if you're of this like ilk of communist and socialism and Marxism or whatever brand you put onto it, it's demonic because it requires theft, redistribution, and people, it requires theft, you know? And then it also requires usually killing. It's not an accident that killing is a part of the, whether it's abortion or euthanasia, it always goes in the killing route. But it's destruction, right? So that's those are like implicit ways or inferential ways that it happens, indirect ways. Culture kind of permits you. It's not an actual demon like whispering to you, if you will. But then there are these moments where you kind of gotta watch out, like actual demonic influence for a Christian and non-Christian is possible. They can't possess you, but they can powerfully influence you.
Yeah.
And if you give them the space to do it, they're going to be happy to influence you. How they do that, like, I don't know how my spirit and a demonic spirit and manipulation or influence or coercion happens in that realm.
Yeah.
We just know it's possible.
Yeah. So we actually talked about some of the descriptions and names that scripture gives Satan earlier in this season, episode one. Can you just give a refresher on what those are and what this looks like in terms of what is the spirit that's been affected or influenced by the demonic and these types of situations?
Yeah. So I'll give you, there were like 15 or 17 names that we gave.
Yep.
I want to highlight a couple. Okay. So, and these are, when you see these behaviors, this is a clue. It's an indicator. Something demonic might be influencing. And so we have the Satan, which is actually like describing his behavior, which means the accuser. Mm-hmm. So when you start to watch accusations, you go, when you see the devil, the Diabolos, this is the slanderer. So when you see somebody's name and reputation being brought down, you go, that's interesting, right? You put it in there, you're like,
your discernment meter perks up a little bit.
It's like another clue. Yeah. When you have, this is Abaddon, Apollyon, right? This actually means the destroyer. So when you watch somebody on like a warpath for destruction, you go, they might be destroying their own life or they might be destroying somebody else's. But when there's like this wave of destruction relationally or physically or whatever, you go, then we have the serpent, and this is the creature who deceives. This is the emphasis of the serpent, is that he's a deceiver. When you watch people subtly, explicitly, either or deceiving, saying outright lies, or as Satan did, leaving out essential information or asking misleading questions, right? You're like, it goes in the bucket. You have the dragon, and this is again the creature who destroys. You have the lion, who is the devourer, and so you get these names like that all kind of lead you down the path of destruction. And what you find when there's sort of demonic influence is that there's a principle that people are willing to justify. They're willing to do things they wouldn't normally justify doing because in order to destroy somebody, there are these things they just have to do.
Yep.
So you begin to compromise in different things like deception and slander and accusations, and the list goes on and on. Mm-hmm. I think season two, episode one is a great place to kind of see more of that kind of behavior. You know, you're being influenced if at least highly probable you're being influenced if some of these behaviors are at work.
Yeah. Thank you. That's personally helpful for me when I think through, as you mentioned, the analogy with your kids and my own young kids, and just also people we interact with, of like, what is the thing behind the thing and what is the spirit here?
Yeah.
And helping our listeners, I think through that is also really helpful. Because as you said, even if you don't have this specific spiritual gift per se, anybody can learn how to have discernment or learn to teach or learn to serve, right? So it's important that all of the people that are listening to this right now are equipped and are realized like, oh, this is my responsibility to learn this and understand it and be able to communicate it to other people. So appreciate the training on that.
Yeah, my joy.